Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. We're starting a new series. My name's Graham, by the way. I'm a pastor here, but we're starting a new series, and it's in Luke. So why not have the opening chapters of Luke open? It's page 830 in the Red Bibles. That'll be really helpful and exciting for you. And let's ask God to be with us now. As we consider what we've read. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and goodness in speaking to us. Thank you that we sit here today, thousands of years after these words were first recorded and written down and these events that they record happened. And yet we can have the greatest confidence about them. This is your word. And it's not just for those of Luke's time, it's for us today. And so please, would you speak to us today? Make this good for us today by your Holy Spirit's power, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus verified. That's our new series. It's a big one. It's big because Luke is big. We're going to be in it for a few years, right? Strap in, let's go. We're not going to be doing it for the whole time, but this year we'll get to around chapter 6 or 7 in two blocks of teaching on Luke. But it's exciting to start it off, isn't it? And I want to say, it's very timely. Luke writes to increase certainty and confidence about things that have happened, why they happened, and what they mean. Every week, it seems to me, I hear about Christians who are, the term is, deconstructing their faith. That is, they're questioning things that once were certain for them. They're losing their trust and their faith and their belief in those things that they once trusted. They're losing faith in the truth that they had. I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe. Don't try and change what I believe, and in exchange, I won't tell you how possibly ridiculous I think what you believe really is. But is what you believe and is what I believe the truth? And when we're dealing with the gospel of salvation, the stakes could not possibly be any higher, could they? Now, we can, I think, all understand that kind of deterioration of faith at one level, can't we? Our in our culture as a whole, our faith in news reporting, for example, is not what it once was or seemed to be. You know how we used to assume that journalists were interested in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Seems that that's kind of long gone. We're more aware than ever that we have agendas underneath, that there might be manipulation going on, that there's possibly propaganda being set forward, and fake news. You know, if you say fake news enough times, and I've already said it twice, it can't help but undermine confidence and certainty. And so what even is truth these days? And the things of God, the Bible, God's word, including the book of Luke, this good news, if you like, have come under this attack as well. So here's what I want to say very clearly as we embark on this adventure into Luke's gospel. It's been given to us. Luke's gospel has been given specifically for providing confidence about certain things that have happened. Luke wants us to know what is claimed to have happened did in fact happen. Jesus did happen. Luke sets out to verify this, and if that is the case, the big idea is a big one for us today. It's the really big one. Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah? Put your trust and hope in him. Right at the outset. That's the big idea, and we can probably hold on to that all the way through the series. Let's have a look at our first point, which is this, our need for verification. Now, to verify means to confirm, to substantiate, to prove the truth, the accuracy, or justification of something, often by examination or investigation. It's become part of our lives, hasn't it? There's a new level of complexity, particularly in our digital lives. You know, you've got one of those. We need to verify our identity, our email, our address. And we do this by providing the required evidence, codes and passwords, two-factor authentication, certificates, documents, or even presenting ourselves, would you believe it, physically for inspection. My son Nathan and I are in the process of renewing UK passports. Don't worry, we're not going. Well, we are going, just for a visit. Mine's gone through fine. Bing. But Nathan's, because the picture in it is of little baby Nathan, needs further verification. Specifically, his identity needs to be verified. And so what we need, it turns out, is an eyewitness to verify that Nathan is Nathan. That's fair, isn't it? I'm pleased about that. I think he's pleased about that, although it is a bit of a hassle. Now, as Luke begins, he makes us aware that verse 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. As we read on, we learn that these things concern the birth, the life and death of Jesus and his resurrection. But Luke tells us they're already known, right? They're already known. They've been passed on. They've been received. There are already accounts around and some being drawn up, suggesting not just the passing on of stories by mouth, which was the usual and the preferred method of the time. The Greek thinker Plato cautioned of the danger in writing things down. Human memories, he thought, were the best way to get things right and pass them on. He's never met me. Write that stuff down. But this was how it happened. When any news came to your town or village, it would be received by various different people. The story was told, and then there were those who had a particular job or a gift, kind of got together, they firmed it up into the agreed, received story, and they had their version of this news. And so this account would become well known and easily corrected then if someone deviated from the truth. A bit like when you share a well-known family memory from years ago and it's so well known you're able to correct any little deviation. No, 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 that's not how it went, was it? Remember? From that original version. And so Luke's not making anything new up here, but he is bringing it together in one place, with different sources, including the Gospel of Mark and possibly Matthew, many other sources too, to preserve it all together. And so this material, what was it? Well, it had first been basically revelation, the things that had been fulfilled among them, events that had a particular meaning, they'd been foreseen and prophesied. Not merely words, and we'll see this as we go through the series, the events that God was doing and had done. And this material, this revelation had been confirmed by eyewitnesses and those who'd been carrying the stories already, servants of the word, including the apostles, as we heard in the kids' talk, but others as well. And so one of the great things about Luke is that this actually wasn't good enough for him in one sense. He wanted more. He needed more. He needed to check it out. Can I believe this? Can you believe this? We all have beliefs. As Reformed Christians in a Reformed church, we have lots of things to believe. We have lots of doctrine. Lots of great things to believe. This is what we believe, we say. But here's where that deconstruction thing I mentioned earlier can start coming in. It's usually to do with an inability to explain not what we believe or what is supposed to be believed, but why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe it? Was this just this belief, was it just picked up along the way? Were they just kind of forced on us just because this is what we believe? Why? Is it good? How is it good? How is this good if we believe it? Is it right and true? Can we verify it? We all need this verifying of what we believe. And Luke leads us into it in this gospel. So our second point, Luke verifies Jesus. Verse 3, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Paul's a bit of an investigator, we saw that. Luke's a bit of an investigator. We know a bit more about him from various mentions in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul in Philemon and 2 Timothy calls him a fellow worker along with Paul. And then in Colossians 4 verse 14, he's mentioned as our dear friend Luke, the doctor. So he's a certain kind of chap, kind of suggests a meticulousness. That's what you'd expect from a doctor. Hopefully, a high intellect. And you see, it results in an orderly account. Sounds very reformed, doesn't it? Did it decently and in good order. But notice where all of that takes him. It's not to an arrogance that says, no, clear all that other stuff away and here's the real truth from me. No. Those accounts are all there, and here's what I've done. I've gone and checked them out carefully, everything from the beginning. The received stories, the eyewitnesses. When you read 1 Corinthians, written a few years before Luke most likely, Paul references in those first verses of 1 Corinthians 15, 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection, of whom he says most of them are still alive. That is to say, you can go and ask them and investigate. And I reckon Luke was just one who did. And what is the outcome of all of this, or at least the desired outcome from Luke's point of view? Verse 4, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught, so that you may know Jesus verified with confidence. More than that, certainty is the word he uses. This is what God's word does. It is trustworthy, and therefore it is able to provide assurance, certain assurance. Luke gives us then a helpful example to reflect on as he piggybacked on the work of many others. We can piggyback on his work and carefully investigate these things, think through what they mean. And as we do that, please, 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 Can we aim to get to a point that is beyond just this is what we believe, to this is why we believe what we believe? Please, can we do that? It's going to mean asking and pursuing answers to questions, asking questions and pursuing the answers. Please, can we embrace the asking of questions? We had some great questions at our recent Q&A thing that we did on the 29th of March, just before Easter, in the 4:30 p.m. Why do you think we had so many? I suspect it's because they were able to be asked anonymously. I don't think we got anywhere near as many if you had to put your name to them. I think someone did put their name to them by accident. One of them. There can be a fear among us. What will people think if I ask that question? And I want you to know, no one, I'm speaking for us as staff here and leaders, no one of our staff and leaders, and I hope actually for our whole church family, will dismiss any genuine question. I hope that never happens here. We want to join in on the journey to find clarity. This is so important. Some of the questions we received were related to this idea. Can we trust what's in the Bible? Can we trust the Bible documents or the New Testament documents? Well, this is exactly what Luke intends. He's actually writing for that question for us. Now, there's a possible objection that Luke makes great claims for his accuracy, and of course he would do, wouldn't he? Yeah, you would do that. But as did other ancient historians who, in fact, were not very accurate. So what's different about Luke? Well, against that, we can say Luke is aiming for this specific outcome of assurance, right? He wants certainty even for Theophilus. And that's an outcome that is seriously affected by accuracy, isn't it? Also consider that his writing was virtually contemporary to the events he describes, unlike many of the other historians he's often compared with. Therefore, he has actually got limited ability to be careless with the facts at all, because so many people knew these events. And what this does is give more evidence for why these scriptures can be trusted. Nevertheless, there are still many voices today who will seek to rip your eyes off of God's word and off the authority of scripture. What's the result of that then? Well, it's not certainty. How can it be? It's a crisis of faith. It's the opposite of certainty. All in all, we have here in this short introduction some serious multi-factor authentication of Jesus and what's going to be written about him. Luke verifies Jesus in his approach, and we can trust what he says, which is thrilling, isn't it? Because when you see what he says, it's absolutely thrilling. But there's more I want to get to in this intro to this series. So our third point, Luke verifies Jesus, but now God verifies Jesus. So as we start this series, we're actually going to skip the Christmas passages in chapters 1 and 2, not because they're not important. We're going to deal with them most likely at Christmas. Although certainly read them. You don't have to skip them just because we are skipping them here. And I'm sure we'll deal with them in our Connect Group series. But then we get to chapter 3, and we read a little bit of that. And we have John the Baptist and his spicy ministry of preparing the way for the Lord, morally roasting these crowds who came to be baptized, morally roasting the King Herod on account of his activities, his sexual immorality and evil and so on. And then verse 15, the people then were waiting expectantly. They were all wondering if they're in their hearts, if John might possibly be the Messiah, the promised one, the one who, it turns out, he is actually Jesus. Here was a candidate then in John who might be this one, but John shrugs that off and he says, no, let me tell you about someone else who's coming. Now then Herod takes John out of the picture, but not before Luke shares something very special that happened. So verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Some ordinary looking guy called Jesus goes down to be baptized. And God's voice from heaven makes it clear as he comes up out of the water, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased." Now, put yourselves there. What was that like? We can just let that just wash over us, can't we? But what was that actually like? I mean, I can walk out of here, and every so often you'll hear the Calvin announcement system say something. It's like a voice from the ether coming into my world. I don't think it was like that. Here's what it achieved. Jesus verified in the presence of all who were there by a voice from heaven. No less than the Father of this one who is now on earth, this Jesus. And the dove symbolizing the Holy Spirit coming down as well. Wow. Verified. I tell you, I wish I could do that to verify my son's passport. Boom my voice into the, you know, His Majesty's Government Passport Processing Center. This is my son. Jesus verified. The Spirit descends, rests on him too. Are you interested in who this Jesus is? As you stand there looking at this and hearing this announcement, the scene is set enticingly, wouldn't you say? For what will this Son of God look like? What will he do? What will he say? Well, this is what we have ahead of us as we explore and investigate together. But there's another piece of Luke's investigation to consider, and it sets out some of the theme for the whole of his gospel. Where did this Jesus come from? Luke gives us this genealogy. It's like a family tree thing. Not the most stimulating thing to read, perhaps, but what it means is fantastic. It is fantastic that we have this. Verse 23, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli. And then it goes on. Was Jesus the son of Joseph? That's not a rhetorical question. Was Jesus the son of Joseph?
A bit uncomfortable.
Ask your questions. Feel free. No. Jesus was the son of Mary and conceived by the Holy Spirit, not Joseph. Hence, Luke's careful, so it was thought. Human on his mother's side, divine on his father's side, And yet Luke then still takes us all the way through Joseph's human line, all the way back to 3 verse 38, the son of Adam, the son of God. Jesus, the son of God, divinely verified by his father's voice from heaven, is shown to be also identified along with all humanity as sons of God. For on that reading, all of those in that whole list who are mentioned are sons of God. All humanity is in view as Luke puts his gospel together. And we'll see, Luke often focuses in on this humanity of Jesus and Jesus with us as human beings, his dealings as a savior with the challenges of humanity, the poor and the marginalized and the rejected. And going all the way back to Adam instead of Abraham, as Matthew's genealogy does, suggests this message of this gospel is for all people. It's for the whole world. It's good, isn't it? So where do we leave this then? We have a truth that Luke has established and he wants us to be certain about. Jesus is the Son of God. But don't stop there. Put your hope and your trust in him. Not just Theophilus, who Luke says, I'm writing for your certainty, although his name means one who loves God, but everyone. Because you can, with great certainty. This Jesus, who is the Son of God, not only identified with us all, but gave his life for us all, as we have just celebrated at Easter. This Son of God, with whom God is well pleased, lived his life for us, died for us, rose again for us. And Luke carefully investigated all of that too. And so should you if you haven't already. It's brilliant. It's hope for all of humanity. I just want to rub this in a little bit at the outset. We began our whole year with three vision pictures. I want us to just reflect on how does this that we've seen help us with these pictures of who we're aspiring to be as God's people. How does this help us with our love? This is who we are, right? We really love Jesus. We have a costly love for Jesus because he's worth it. So has your certainty about Jesus increased? Has your certainty increased because of Jesus, because of what's claimed about him, because of Luke's gospel, because of the confidence that you can have because of Luke writing his gospel? Here's an even bigger question, one for us to ponder. Has your love for Jesus been verified? Is Jesus verified not just by Luke, not just by God, but by you as you follow him? And if not, why not? Reflect on that. Leads us to our second picture, which has to do with transformation. How does this help us with our transformation? Do you know what you believe?
Yes, I believe this. Boom.
Do you know why you believe it? Paul talked about profession of faith. That is an A1 place to bring questions and find answers. If you don't think that's your bag, come and talk to us. We'll sort something else out. Exploring Jesus, an A1 place to bring your questions. And find out not just something to believe, but be convinced by God and his word and his Holy Spirit as to why we believe what we believe. What are your questions, the ones you have? What are the questions other people have that you know of? These are opportunities to grow together in our understanding. And then lastly, how does this help us to love our place? Well, I think we can clearly see from Luke's right at the outset, we have a Saviour who came for all. For us and the others around us, for all humanity, he became like us, for us. He was among people to save them. And so we want to hold him up. We want to hold him out to all. We want to live and speak the gospel in this place. We, as a church, have an opportunity to verify Jesus, don't we? Don't we? Let's get into it then, or continue on with it. It's a brilliant thing for Kingborough and Kingston that God's people are here and in other places among them. Verify Jesus in this place where he has put us, because he is the Son of God. Put your hope and trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your great grace and mercy, for your provision. You know what we're like. Even though this was written in a time that's so different from our time, we're still the same people. People who need assurance. People who need hope. People who are easily swayed by all sorts of things. We so easily assume are good for us, and they're not. They take us places that, however good we think those places are, they're no nearer to you, they're further away. Father, please draw us to yourself. Call us through your word to find the certainty that you offer. To listen to Luke. Carefully investigate Luke's careful investigation. Help us to do that. Help us to live for you and to verify you, not just through reading what you have given to us in this gospel, but through living out a life that has been captivated by your grace and mercy and glory and goodness. Father, help us to bring our questions to and want to pursue truth and life in the answers. Father, help us to respond well. Help us to keep the conversations going. Help us to encourage one another. Help us not to just be on our own, isolated, but together as your people with you as our God, growing from strength to strength and glorifying you in everything we do. We need you, Lord. We need you more than we know. Please hear our cries. In Jesus' name, amen.